morning, everybody. You almost didn't get a session because I couldn't get through the line in the beginning. So I apologize for people who have to stand or for people who are still standing outside. Apparently, we underestimated the popularity of Visual Studio, sessions about Visual Studio. So hopefully it's not going to be too bad. So thank you very much for your interest. Thank you very much for coming along. My name is Michael Koster. I work for Microsoft Corporation, so my boss sits in America, but I myself, I'm based in Munich in Germany, and you can hear that from my accent. People always tell me I sound like the bad guy in a World War II movie, so hopefully it's not too bad. And my role, my job, is to talk about Microsoft's developer technologies. And of course, this includes Visual Studio, since Visual Studio is the number one tool, the only tool that you use as a developer to build applications, projects on the Microsoft platform. So today I want to talk about a few of the new things, some of the productivity tools that we have in Visual Studio 2012, our newest version of Visual Studio. And I also want to show you some tips and tricks how you can get faster as a developer. So hopefully there's something new here for everybody. By the way, who's using Visual Studio 2012? All right, quite a few people. Who's still using 2010? Okay, so for those of you who are still using 2010, hopefully after today you will use 2012. If not, I will tell you some things, some tips and tricks that also work in Visual Studio 2010. So there's something in here for everybody, and hopefully everybody will be happy with this session. All right, so what's new in the Visual Studio IDE? I have three topics. My productivity, me as an individual developer, working with code, wrangling code, discovering code, basically working in the code editor window. Also, some new things we built into Visual Studio to make developer teams more productive. Usually it's not just one developer working alone. Usually it's more than one person. And some of the things we do every day can be quite difficult if our team is distributed, for example, across cities, across location, maybe even across countries and time zones. So simple things like a code review, me scooting over to a colleague and asking him or her, hey, can you take a look at my code? Can you tell me something I did wrong? Why isn't it working? That's very simple to do if you're sitting next to each other. But if you're not sitting next to each other, suddenly it becomes much, much more cumbersome. It becomes much more difficult. Then you're sending around emails and stuff like that. So what we try to do in Visual Studio 2012 is to help development teams with these everyday occurrences and make them a little bit more productive. So I'm going to show you some team productivity features. Just two or three. If you want to use these team productivity features, you will need to have a Team Foundation Server. Who's using Team Foundation Server? That's much fewer people. So those things, those goodies, will only be available if your team uses Team Foundation Server. And then after that, there are some things that people are not too happy about when it comes to Visual Studio 2012. So when you opened Visual Studio 2012 for the first time, what did you think for those who are using it? What was your first thought? Okay, caps lock. It's screaming at me, right? Yeah. Other reactions? There's always the same reaction. Where's the color gun? It's so gray, right? That's usually the number one complaint that comes when you fire up Visual Studio 2012 for the first time. And the funny thing is, when we posted the first screenshots of the new Visual Studio UI to the Visual Studio blog, after like 15 to 20 minutes, we had about 5,000 comments. And all of them were negative, right? All of them were like, oh my God, it's so gray. Why did you take away the color? I'm a developer. I have to look at this gray mess the whole day. I'm getting suicidal, right? Let's just say, if you're getting suicidal because your IDE suddenly is gray, never ever switch to the dark theme, because that one will really drive you over the edge, right? That one is really, really makes you suicidal, I think. That's just me. But there are a few people who really, really like this dark theme. And it's not that we're not listening and that we take away the color because we want to make everybody unhappy. Actually, taking away the color comes from one of the basic rules of Windows 8 development and Windows 8 design. In Windows 8, there's a rule that says content over Chrome. And basically, Chrome is everything that surrounds your content and takes your focus away from the content you're working with. So in a Windows 8 application, there is basically no user interface. It's hidden. It's full screen. There's no maximize button, nothing like that. And the reason for that is to really immerse the user in the content. If you're reading an email, the email is the content. If you're looking at a news article, the news is the content. Everything else is just surrounding it and taking away valuable screen real estate. And the same rule was basically applied to Visual Studio and also Office 2013. And that's why we took away the color, because you don't actually need color in the user interface. The only piece that should be colored is the content you're working with. And the content in Visual Studio is the code. So you can still customize the code editor window. You can do whatever you want with it. But the user interface itself is gray because it's supposed to recede in the background. Anyway, since so many people were unhappy with that, there are several ways how you can change it back to Visual Studio 2010 look and feel. An easy way and a more complex way, so I'm going to talk about that as well when I talk about some must-have extensions that everybody should install. But for all intents and purposes, when you fire up Visual Studio for the first time, it looks like this. And if you go away for a minute from the color change, it's not that different from 2010. You still have your same panels. You have your Solution Explorer. You have your output window. You have the test window. All of these things are still the same, and nothing has changed much. Of course, you can customize it any way you want, but under the hood, there were some really, really big changes. So, for example, we removed most of the toolbar buttons up here, those things. And the reason for that is that we know pretty well what kind of buttons people are clicking on when they're using Visual Studio. We have pretty good data on that. So we found out that most of the buttons are never really used by the majority of users, so we took most of them away. Taking them away just means hiding them. We didn't take away any functionality or anything like that. However, you can still customize that, and I would suggest, and that is a productivity tip, that when you customize your toolbar, you should definitely add one element, which is the Find toolbar. The Find toolbar can be a real productivity booster, and that also goes for Visual Studio 2010. Does anyone know why? The secret life of the Find toolbar. Anyone? No? So just sit tight for a couple more minutes, then I'm going to tell you how the Find toolbar can help you get faster, more productive as a developer. Other things we did, we made some changes to the Solution Explorer. And the Solution Explorer, first of all, looks like the standard thing that we know from 2010, which shows files and folders. But if you look here, you can see that there's little arrows next to each and every file. And that allows you to expand that particular file and actually go into that file and see what's going on here. So you don't actually need to open it because it gives you access to all the methods, variable, etc. Now, for those of you who are still using Visual Studio 2010, there is an extension that gives you the same functionality. It's called the Visual Studio Power Tools, Productivity Power Tools. So if you haven't installed that, you should definitely do that, because that is exactly the same functionality, gives you a more comfortable Solution Explorer, so that you don't need to open files to actually look at the content itself. Other things you can do here is you can right-click any element. Scope to this will get one level deeper, so you're navigating one level deeper in your hierarchy of files and folders into the file. And of course, if you want to go back, you can use the navigation buttons here and go back out again. Very useful is also right-click is used by, which basically does a search on your solution and shows you basically all the instances of this particular element in all files and folders. So that is also a nice productivity booster that we have in the Solution Explorer. When I'm tabbing and arrowing and opening those files, you might see that we have a strange tab on the right-hand side. We call that a preview tab. And we found out that there are two kinds of people who use Visual Studio when it comes to tab management. We call them the pruners and the flushers. Now the pruners, they open one tap, they do their work in that tap, and when they're finished working, they close it again. So they are very, very conscientious, they want to have a clean interface, they never open too many taps at the same time. Those are the pruners. The other type is the flusher. The flusher opens one tap after another until they're totally overwhelmed because they have so many taps open that they don't know where everything is, so they close everything and start over again. You can decide for yourself what type you are. It's not a positive or negative thing. The point here being that tap management in Visual Studio is actually quite cumbersome and quite difficult, especially when you're debugging, when you're stepping through your code. It's quite common to have a lot of taps open at the same time. That's why we did this preview tap thing, which is exactly that. It just shows you a preview of a file, and if you start typing in that file and changing that file, it becomes a normal tap, moves to the left-hand side, and you can also press a little this little button up here that will also promote it to a normal tab as well. So that is something new about tab management in Visual Studio, and that is actually one of the changes, one of the big changes that also was designed to make people more productive. Other things we have is another rule that comes from Windows 8 is search everywhere. It turns out that the modern way of using any kind of complex application or operating system is to have a very, very solid search functionality, because you can never remember all the features and where they are. So if you have a search functionality, that definitely helps you. And that is also something that trickled down to Visual Studio, because in every panel, whether it's the Solution Explorer, whether it's Team Explorer, whether it's the arrow window, everywhere, you have a targeted search. So the search will always search through the elements that are inside that particular panel. So in the Solution Explorer, it searches for files and folders, etc. In Team Explorer, it searches for work items. So using that search is actually a very, very good idea and can also make you a little bit more productive. So for example, when we look at the Solution Explorer, if I search for capital C, capital D, it will find all the instances of this particular capitalization. That is actually a special kind of search. It's called Pascal search. We all know that in .NET development, we have certain rules about or certain preferences about capitalization. So customer details, capital C, capital D, etc. That's quite common when it comes to .NET development. So the Solution Explorer search will actually look for those capitalized instances. And if I do a search on capital C, capital D, it will find all those instances in my solution. Conversely, if I do a search on non-capitalized CD, it will not find anything. Well, it does find there, but it will not find a lot because those instances are not quite as common. So that's called Pascal search, and that is actually something that you find in multiple places in Visual Studio. And remembering that capitalization is actually also a productivity booster, which I'm going to show you a little bit later when it comes to writing code, because also IntelliSense respects capitalization rules. Now, let me just go up here again to close this. When we're talking about search, now let's also talk about the Find toolbar. Now, the Find toolbar, just like the output window in Visual Studio, has a secret second life. It's also a command window. So you can issue commands to Visual Studio by typing into the Find toolbar. So why is this helpful? To switch it to command mode, you put the greater than sign in, and now you can say things like file.openfile, and then you can just start typing the name of the file. And since it's a search box, all the files are indexed anyway, so it will automatically give you a list of files that correspond to that particular character string that you put in there. Now, if you have a very complex solution with a lot of files that might be buried three levels down, this is actually very, very helpful, because it can allow you to open files in this instance much, much faster than by clicking around with your mouse and drilling down into the Solution Explorer. But it's just not just opening files. Actually, there's a lot of commands in the Find toolbar, and if you type alias, you get a list of all the commands that are in Visual Studio out of the box. It gets even better because you can create your own commands as well. So if you want to create an alias that opens a certain file all the time, This is annoying. You just enter alias. Let's say I want to call this alias ABCD, and then you put the command in file.openfile default.aspx. Hit enter. It tells you down here that this alias ABCD was created. So if I go now into my find toolbar and I just say ABCD, just ABCD, it will actually execute that command. Now, again, it's very important to know that this is just like a batch file, because you can also link to commands together. So you can do complete workflow automation if you want to, just by creating one shortcut, one alias in Visual Studio. And if you're using the keyboard a lot and not switching to the mouse, going to the find toolbar with a shortcut, which on the German keyboard is Control Comma, is actually the fastest way of automating many, many things. I have a colleague at Microsoft who actually was involved in creating that functionality of the find toolbar. And this guy is just driving this to the extreme, because he has a, I think, 150-step workflow that he runs through all the time, and he has automated that, and he can execute that with one keystroke. So that's very, very, very interesting. And if you're a geek who really likes to automate as much as possible and make yourself faster, this is a very, very nice productivity tip. As I said, this is not just Visual Studio 2012, it's also Visual Studio 2010, so it has a fine toolbar as well. I always like to mention that, because it really is something that not many people know. Did anyone know that? No? A few people? Okay. One or two hands. So now everybody knows. So, all right. Other search functionality that we have in Visual Studio. Some people compare Visual Studio to the cockpit of a Boeing 747, a large, whatever, machine. Because there's so many tools, tabs, functionalities, and features hidden inside Visual Studio that it can be very, very difficult to find all that. It's okay if you remember where the functions are that you use all the time. We all do that. But if you're looking for a new functionality, a new feature, it can be very, very hard to find that, and you will need to click around quite a lot. So that's why we put a search functionality into the IDE itself, and that's the quick launch up here on the right-hand side. The quick launch will search Visual Studio for you. Just to give you an example, what I always like to do on a new installation of Visual Studio is to switch on the line numbers, because for some reason they are never switched on, and I can never remember where they are. So just typing line numbers into the quick launch will take me there, so it really searches the whole Visual Studio IDE and everything inside of it. So if you also are somebody who likes to use desktop shortcuts or keyboard shortcuts, the quick toolbar can also help you with that, because when it lists the search results, it will also list the keyboard shortcuts for that. So it's definitely worth if you're looking for that elusive shortcut that you can never remember. One of the number one tips to get faster with Visual Studio is, by the way, remember as many keyboard shortcuts as possible, because if you want to get quicker, you should never switch from keyboard to mouse and back again, because that will just lose your time. So if you know the keyboard shortcuts, that is the right way to go. That is the right way to actually become faster. There's more to the quick launch. You can target it. If I just want to look for the debugger options, I can put in add op debug, and that will take me directly to the options dialog for the debugger. So there's actually quite a lot of sophistication to that quick launch, which sounds strange because it's such a small feature actually. But again, we've all been in this situation that when we use Visual Studio, we're looking for one option and we cannot find it. So that one can help you with that. Actually, the quick launch itself can be customized. So if you start the quick launch, you can see that there's actually different search providers that can hook into the quick launch functionality. So for example, there is an extension, the Productivity Power Tools for 2012, that gives you quick commands, which are new commands for the quick launch, and that one also hooks into that one. So when you install new extensions, the developer of that extension can use the quick launch to make it easier to use their functionality. What else? Let's just quickly build this solution. If you have errors, which I don't have here, we now have an error list search, and we have a filter here that allows you to filter the errors by open document, open solution, etc. That's a small thing, but I think it's still a thing that has been left out from earlier versions of Visual Studio for quite some time, and that's a nice thing to have. Okay, so let's write some code. So basically, those were some basic enhancements that we made to Visual Studio 2012, to the IDE. The only things you need to remember here is that there's search everywhere. That's one thing you should use. By the way, to get to the search in any in any tab, Control-E is the shortcut for that. So if you remember one shortcut, Control-E is a good one, and Control-Q is the second good one, because that takes you to the quick launch. So let's create a new solution. The shortcut for that is Control-Shift-N. Of course, since I said before, we have search everywhere. We also have that in this template dialog box where you can just start searching. But I already created a similar application before, so I don't need to do that. I just need to give my application a nice name. It's going to be a Twitter search application, and it's going to be a console app, so a very, very small thing. Okay. Now, when I start typing here, it can be that IntelliSense can sometimes be a little bit annoying. I mean, IntelliSense basically is the greatest thing about Visual Studio ever, because this is the mechanism that tries to anticipate what you want to do and tries to help you with that by automatically completing whatever you type. So most people know IntelliSense, most people use IntelliSense on a daily basis, and some people even say that Visual Studio itself is just a wrapper around IntelliSense, right? But not many people know that IntelliSense has two different modes. So let's say I want to create a new class, Twitter, TwitterT equals new Twitter, and you can see that IntelliSense is actually not very helpful here, because it tries to complete that and make it Twitter search. Now, IntelliSense has two modes. One is completion mode, that's the default mode, and the other one is called suggestion mode. So to switch to suggestion mode, you hit Control-Alt-Space, and now IntelliSense will only suggest probable completion rules, but it will not actually complete anything. So in this case, this is much more helpful, since I want to create this new Twitter class here. So again, IntelliSense, great thing, but remember, there's two ways of working with IntelliSense, and I personally vastly prefer the suggestion mode. Now, the second thing that many people don't know about the Visual Studio editor is that Visual Studio, just like Office, has smart tags. Who knows that Visual Studio has smart tags? A couple of people. Very few people, which always surprises me, because those smart tags, if you didn't know them so far, they are actually your best friends. So you can see one of those little guys here, the blue box under Twitter, under that Twitter class, and the shortcut for invoking a smart tag is Control Dot. And the smart tag will show you the most likely options that you might want to do here. So in this case, it offers me to generate the class for Twitter. Now, of course, I could right-click my solution, add new element, class, Twitter, etc. But this one is arguably much, much faster. So just hitting enter, I can just continue typing while Visual Studio does all that other stuff in the background. And you can see we have our new Twitter class on the right-hand side. And we're going to go into that a little bit later. So remember that shortcut, Control Dot, smart tag. And the smart tag is always this little blue box. There's a second type of smart tags, which we'll see in a minute, but this one is arguably one of the nicest things ever. Okay, I need a list of strings, and it's going to be called results, and it's going to run a search for hash, and the hash is Visual Studio. All right. Now, a few other things that you can see here is that there's automatic brace completion, so the closing braces get added, as well as the closing quotes. That is not a default feature. That is actually a feature that comes with the Visual Studio 2012 productivity power tools. So that I'm going to talk about that a little bit more when I talk about must-have extensions. But if you ever want to install an extension that really helps you, is always the productivity power tools. As I said before, the same one exists for 2010 with different functionality. So every version of Visual Studio has the productivity power tools available, and they're definitely worth a download. Again, we have the little blue smart tag here, control dot, and now it will generate me the method stub in the Twitter class. So let's just hit enter and continue typing. Again, it helps you not switch between files, which always loses you a couple of seconds that you can use for actually more productive things. But now we need to go into my little Twitter class here. And my mouse is not performing well today, so apologies for that. I hate the mouse anyway. So, deleting a whole line. It's funny that many people go to great lengths to actually delete a whole line because it's much more difficult than you think. The shortcut to delete the whole line is Control L, or you can just triple click a line and that will do the same thing, delete the whole thing. What I need here is two strings. This is annoying. Okay. One of the things that has been in Visual Studio for years now that many people are not using for some reason is code snippets. Who's using code snippets? Okay, it's way too few hands up in the air. So for those of you who are not using code snippets, what we did in 2012 is actually we ramped up the built-in code snippets library. It's now, I think, more than 1,500 code snippets built into Visual Studio for all kinds of languages, especially when it comes for web developers to CSS 3.0, HTML5, JavaScript. There's now a lot of boilerplate code that is available as code snippets as well. And of course, you can create your own code snippets. Unfortunately, it's not that simple to do that because a code snippet to work correctly is a small XML file that you need to put in a specific folder in the Visual Studio installation. So that's not as comfortable as we would like it to be. But there's an extension in the Visual Studio Gallery you can install where you can select any line, anything in the editor window, right-click it, and turn it into a code snippet. Right? So that is really, really user-friendly, very comfortable, and really do that because code snippets are also one of the quickest way to get faster. Start with using the built-in code snippets, but also create your own. The shortcut for invoking the code snippet functionality is Control KX, which will give you this little drop down here. And I have some code snippets created. The first one I need is this request URI string here, pretty simple one. But again, code snippets are a good thing to know about. Search, okay. One other thing that many people don't know about is that Visual Studio has something called a box selection. So if you're often in the situation that you have to change multiple lines of code at the same time in the same way, box selection can help you with that. So in this case, I want to make those two strings privates. So a box selection is invoked by holding Alt down and just dragging in front of those two lines. It can be tricky, but if you do it right, you can see that there's a very, very thin blue line in front of these two lines. And when I start typing now, it will change all the lines at the same time. Right? Again, I had the unfortunate experience once of having to change 150 strings at the same time. I didn't know about box selection. Not a nice experience, so remember that one. It's in every version of Visual Studio as well. I need a second code snippet that I've created. Control KX is one way of accessing the library, but you can also just start typing the name of the code snippet in the library, and then it will automatically populate as well. So we can just hit Tab and complete that one here. There's another smart tag, I mentioned that before, and that's the red smart tag. You can see it on the right-hand side here. That's the search and replace smart tag. The shortcut is the same one, it's control dot, and it allows you to rename everything or rename with preview, which gives you a little window and shows you what's about to happen. So that one is also a smart tag, and it really helps when you have to do a lot of renaming all the time. Again, shortcut for smart tags is control dot, so that's a good one to remember. Okay, I'm going to need an XML reader next, so let's create that one like that. And you can see that we have an issue here, but again, the helpful little smart tag comes up, and this time it's adding the using statement. Also very, very helpful, especially if you never can remember in what kind of library this particular thing is located. So smart tag is of a little bit of a help here as well. I mentioned before that one search in Visual Studio is the search for capitalization, Pascal search as it's called. The same applies to IntelliSense. So instead of typing XML reader, I can just do capital X, capital R, and IntelliSense will automatically default to the first instance here, so I can just hit tab, continue typing. Let's create that XML reader here, request. And you can see how Visual Studio, with the help of that little plugin, automatically completes those braces here. I need a syndication feed now. Syndication feed. And we can see that we have a problem here. We also have a smart tag, but in this case, the smart tag is not very helpful. Obviously, we haven't added the reference yet. So there are several ways of doing that. Of course, there's the old-fashioned way of right-clicking the references node and add it by hand. You can also do Control-Q, add reference up here. If you like typing, it's the same result. Again, Control-Q, if you're a keyboard user, Control-Q for the quick launch is a good thing to have. Control-E takes me to the search box, and I can now search. By the way, the references pop-up probably was the most annoying piece of code in Visual Studio 2010 ever, right? Because that thing is slow, so it takes a long time to populate, and filtering and searching for that reference in that huge list is actually not possible or very, very difficult. So now it's instantaneous, so it's much, much faster than before, and of course we have this nice search here that allows you to actually quickly filter and then select the right reference that you're looking for. And now our little smart tag actually is smart again, so it offers me to use the correct using statement. Again, capital S, capital F will default to the first entry in the list, and then it's just a question of completing everything and finishing up this little piece of software. Now I need for each loop, and again, we have beefed up the internal snippets library quite a bit. So every piece of boilerplate code, like in for each loop or other examples of that you want to create, we have it as a snippet. So instead of typing that out, just start with for each, hit tab twice, and it will create the scaffolding for that. And you can iterate between the things that you might want to change. You can iterate through that with the tab key and just continue on typing. When I hit enter, I will be taken to the middle here, and I can just continue just creating and finishing my code. Now, I'm not going to run this impressive piece of software engineering that I just created, because that's not the point here. The point here is there are a couple of hidden gems, some hidden things that you have in Visual Studio in the editor window. What I've just shown were some of the most obvious, but there's actually a couple more shortcuts, a couple more things that you should remember, that you should think about. And actually, there's a list available that we can make available for download, which shows all these productivity tips and all these hints and tips on one handy chart, on one handy screen. Now, a few other things that are interesting here, is, for example, Control-Alt-L will always open and switch you to the Solution Explorer, so that one is also one that is nice to remember. Control-Comma is probably the granddaddy of Visual Studio shortcuts, because that opens the Navigate To window, which finds anything in anywhere in your solution. So if you're just looking for something, whether it's a method, whether it's a piece of code, whether it's a variable, whether it's a file, control comma will find that one. So that is one that is definitely also good to remember. A third one is Shift Alt and Enter. So if you hit that one, it will go to full screen. We always have too few screen real estate when we use Visual Studio. So Shift Alt and Enter will switch and hide all the toolbars and all the menu items, giving you more place for your code. By the way, one of the things we also made better in 2012 is the support for multi-monitor. So in Visual Studio 2010, this was always a little bit awkward and annoying because yes, you could drag out tabs out of Visual Studio, but those tabs were always like a little bit connected to the parent window. So maximizing, minimizing doesn't always work as you would expect it to. Now in 2012, those are real windows. So all the windows, shortcut, windows up, windows left, windows right, they all work just as expected. And you can even build your own mini version of Visual Studio by creating a copy of the Solution Explorer. Like, for example, right-clicking this node here allows you to open a new Solution Explorer window, and you can drag that over here and dock that to this window, and now you have a mini copy of Visual Studio, and it really is fully supportive of multi-monitor configurations. Of course, if you don't have a multi-monitor setup like I have here, it's pretty hard to demonstrate that, but again, just have to trust me on that. If you hit Control, double-click, it will integrate all those windows back into the parent, and you're back where you actually began. Something else that we have in Visual Studio now is this history. Just like in a browser, the history allows you to navigate backwards and forwards. The history doesn't just remember files, it also remembers the locations where you are, where you were in those files. So that is also something that is a little bit new. Hopefully it will be helpful for developers to get a little bit quicker, a little bit more productive. Just see, did I forget anything? Nope, that's about it. Okay. Again, to sum this part up, the three shortcuts everybody should remember is Control Q for the quick launch, Control Dot for the smart tags. Remember the smart tags, I love them because I'm a stupid developer, I can never remember things, so the smart tags really save me some time. And the third one is probably the Control E for going to the search box everywhere, and you will find that over time this also becomes a huge productivity booster if you don't have to click around and find things explicitly. Okay. And of course, when it comes to Visual Studio 2012, there have been a lot of enhancements, and those that I've just shown you were just sort of like an introduction to that. There's a couple more, but we can never fit all of that into a session of approximately 1 hour. The other thing I wanted to briefly talk about is some of the features for development teams, because what we've seen so far is just for the individual developer wrestling with code, wrangling with code, working with code. If you're working in a team, suddenly other things become much, much more important. Again, team collaboration is always something that can be difficult, especially if your team is distributed across multiple geographies, multiple locations. So what we try to do in 2012 is to introduce some features which help developers handle everyday occurrences. One we call a code review, and a code review is not always something formalized that you have to go to a boss and the boss looks at your code. It can be much, much simpler than that. Again, just going over to a colleague to ask him or her for input on my code, that is also sort of a code review. So what we try to do is to introduce a feature that allows us to do that basically much, much simpler and automatically. Now, in order to use the team functionality of Visual Studio, you will need to have, let me just close this window here, we don't need that. You will need to use Team Foundation Server. So for those of you who are not using Team Foundation Server, unfortunately you're out of luck. But the nice story here is that there's basically a free version of Team Foundation Server that you can download that, when you install it, allows you to use that functionality as well. Many people are using Team Foundation Server only for source control, right? That's a very good start, and it's okay if you do that, but you need to know that Team Foundation Server has many, many more functionalities than just source control. It's basically a collaboration tool, a management tool for all the aspects of complex software development done in teams. So it has, of course, source control, it has work item tracking, it has build management and build functionality. There's a lot of stuff that you can automate when you use Team Foundation Server. The main entry point into the world of TFS is the Team Explorer. We already had that in 2010, of course. But in 2010, the Team Explorer was this strange tree menu that you had to expand to get to anything meaningful. And people were heavily complaining about that. Nobody really liked it, right? So in 2012, we actually made the Team Explorer much, much easier and much, 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 much more productive for the developer. So when you go to the Team Explorer, what you will see at the top is this My Work link. That is exactly that. It shows you all the things that are relevant for me as an individual developer. So for example, it will show me my in-progress work, but it will also show me all the work items which have been assigned to me. You can see that there's quite a list here. And if I want to get started on one of these work items, I can simply drag that up here to in progress, and that will actually put it in progress. And every change that I now make, every edit, will be automatically associated to this particular work item. Now, this is a little bit different from what we had in Visual Studio 2010 and TFS 2010, because you did your work, and when you were ready to check in your changes to source control, you had to associate the changes to a work item. This time it's the other way around, but you could still use the old-fashioned way. This way is just more aligned to agile development, because it's very similar to having your stand-up meeting, standing in front of the Scrum board and moving your post-it to in production. It's the same principle, and we put it in to make it actually easier for agile developers to use TFS and Visual Studio for their everyday development work. Now, what you also have here is this functionality of requesting a code review. So when I want to request a code review, I can click that link. The first thing I need to do is to select a person to actually do the code review, so one of my teammates. And I can then add a description here. For example, let's say, please check my code. Check my code. And what you also can see is that all the changes, all the additions, everything is attached to this particular code review. Now, when my colleague gets this request, it will show up in his or her Team Explorer as well. He can open those files, he can look at them in the diff viewer, and then he can leave comments for me. Again, this is something that we do on an everyday basis, but it can be very, very difficult if that person is not right next to me. And what we're trying to do here is to make it a little bit easier to do that by putting some functionality into Visual Studio that helps with that. Another thing that happens every day is that we are interrupted. Interruptions are a daily work, daily thing of life for any developer. Imagine I'm working on this particular bug here. So I've I put it into in progress. I've opened some source code from the repository. Maybe I'm in the middle of editing. I've opened several windows. I've set some breakpoints. So basically, I've configured Visual Studio to my heart's content. Suddenly, my boss comes along and says, drop everything. You need to fix that other issue first. It's much, much more important. Then I close down everything. I shelve my changes. I get the new source code. Basically, I have to do a lot of stuff to get up and working again. That's an interruption, and it happens every day. Now, what we did in 2012 is to build a functionality into Visual Studio that allows you to suspend your work with one mouse click. And what this does is it will put the source code onto the server, but it will also save a snapshot of the state of Visual Studio itself. So all the open windows, all the breakpoints, all the configuration, even the editor position is saved as well. So with one mouse click, you can take a snapshot of your work, do your other stuff, and then come back to this older work with one mouse click again. So suspending is as easy as just clicking suspend. And now everything will be saved. Everything will be put on the server. And when I come back later and I want to continue my work, I'm exactly where I left off. So again, this is something that happens every day. But since it's a everyday occurrence, this is where we think we can save developers some time and make them a little bit more productive when they use Visual Studio 2012. Again, this is something that requires Visual Studio 2012. It also requires Team Foundation Server 2012 in the back end. So if you don't have that, unfortunately, it won't work. But if you have that, it works just works very, very nicely. So those were two things about team productivity. Again, those were just two examples. There's a couple more that we could look at, but I think those two are probably the most important ones when it comes to everyday life of a developer, everyday work of a developer. Just briefly, what we also have changed is the Team Foundation Server Web Access. I don't know if there's another session on that today or tomorrow. I have no idea. TFS in general, is there a session? No, shame. There should be a session on that one. But what we did in 2012 is to rework the Team Web Access quite a bit, especially when it comes to agile development. So when you open the Team Foundation Server Web Access, you get a homepage like this, which shows you basically what's going on in your project. You have a product backlog here, which you can groom and clean and work with right here in the browser. You have a sprint backlog as well, where you can define your tasks, etc. And of course, you also have a Scrum board, which you can use for your daily stand-up meetings and things like that. And all of that is powered automatically by Team Foundation Server, so it comes out of the box. You don't need any extra tools for that. And remember what I did before, I moved one element into in progress. It's the same thing here. When our team does their daily stand-up meeting in the morning, they can discuss these elements, they can just drag them over here, and then they can adjust the effort required. So it's just like a real-world Scrum board, only this time it's populated fully automatic. And that's one of the features that Team Foundation Server gives you as well, work item management, this nice user interface for doing agile project management, agile process management. Last topic, I think I have like 15 minutes left, that's pretty good. Usually I'm much, much slower, so I'm going a little bit fast today. Usually Germans tend to talk way too much, so these sessions always run out of time. And if I finish on time today, actually that would be a good thing. So team productivity, two features which are very important, suspend and shelf, which saves Visual Studio and everything opened in it to the server, and the code reviews, which allows you to request a code review from a colleague. The last thing I want to talk about are some must-have extensions. Now, Visual Studio on its own is pretty powerful, but we never are able to put everything into Visual Studio that we would like to. So there's a lot of partners, a lot of other companies who are building extensions to Visual Studio, which make life as a developer much, much easier. Now, of course, you can install all of these extensions, and actually my version of Visual Studio is heavily customized, so I have about, I think, 75 extensions installed, which makes it also very, very slow, and it crashes all the time. So don't install too much, and that is why I only want to show you some must-have extensions that everybody should install. Those are safe. Those give you a lot of bang for the buck. Those give you a lot of functionality out of the box. Let's start with the first one, which is actually not an extension, but a website. Now, I said before that in the code editor window, you can do whatever you want. You can customize the look and feel of any kind of source code. You can select your colors, you can select your scheme and everything. And it turns out that this is very, very important for many, many people. For example, many people prefer a light UI, but a dark code editor. So there's this website, Studio Styles, studiostyle.es. which has been in place for quite some years now. And this just allows you to download some code editor style sheets, which you can import into Visual Studio, and it will change the look and feel of your source code. This also works for 2010, and this is not new. I just like to mention that because there are some people who do not know that and don't even get started on customizing the look and feel of the editor window. So, as I said before, some people, or many people actually, hate the gray UI in Visual Studio. They would like to go back to the 2010 look and feel. And there's actually several ways of doing that. We listen to that feedback, so it's not that we're just saying, yeah, all users are stupid. We actually give you some ways of reverting back to a different look and feel. First of all, if you want the Visual Studio 2010 look and feel, you should install Visual Studio 2012 Update 2. Update 2 came out, I think, 2 weeks ago, so it's brand new. If you install the Update 2, it will give you a blue theme as well. And if you go to Tools, Options, and go to General, it gives you this blue theme here, which looks like Visual Studio 2010. Right? So if you absolutely cannot live with the gray, install the Update 2, not just for this theme. There's also a lot of other cool things in the Update 2 that will really help you and will really make you, especially when it comes to debugging and discovering new code. There's also another thing called the Visual Studio Theme Editor, and that one allows you to customize and change the look and feel of Visual Studio even more. If you install the Theme Editor, what you get is a couple of other themes. So if you want the red theme, for example, you can switch to that. Not particularly nice looking, though. Maybe I go on a... I'm getting bloodlust or whatever. But the thing is, with the theme editor, you can really customize all the everything about Visual Studio. You can make it look and feel like anything you want. So if you hate the gray, two things to do. Install the Update 2, Visual Studio Update 2, or install the Visual Studio Theme Editor. The full name is Visual Studio 2012 Color Theme Editor, and that will help you with that. I hate the icons. That was another thing that many people complained about. We took away the 3D icons from Visual Studio 2010, and we replaced them with flat versions of themselves. First, we took away the color from the icons as well, and people didn't like that one bit. So we added a little bit color. But still, if you want to get back to the old Visual Studio 2010 icons, download the Visual Studio Icon Patcher, and that will do that for you. So it also should alleviate that particular concern. Somebody mentioned before the UI is screaming at you up here, the menu bar, it's all caps. So some people don't like that. If you want to switch back to the normal look and feel, there's an extension for that. That extension actually gives you a few other nice goodies. It's called VS Commands. And it also gives you a built-in directory explorer, for example, so you don't need to go outside. So it's not just about the file menu up there, but you can change the main menu to normal case, and then Visual Studio will no longer scream at you. So for those of you who don't like that, download VS Commands, and that should make your life a little bit easier. Now, those are all cosmetics, right? They're not really productivity enhancements, although some people would say, if I have to work in an environment where I hate everything, I'm not too productive anyway. So you could maybe call them productivity plugins. But there's a couple of things that will really enhance your productivity as well. I mentioned it before, every version of Visual Studio also has the productivity power tools, and Visual Studio 2012 is no exception to that. The productivity power tools 2012 give you some goodies here, like, for example, let me just open a file quickly. Well, this one is, I still have my Twitter solution open here, so that's not too helpful. But you can see, for example, you have different modes for the scroll bar here. You can switch this the scroll bar to full mode, which gives you a little 10,000 foot view of your code. Now, in this case, it's just a very small file, so that's no issue. But usually, our files are much, much longer, and orienting yourself in a larger file can be a little bit difficult. So that's why this scroll bar can help you with that. It also gives you some mouse overs here. So that is all part of the productivity power tools. If you switch it to map mode, you only get little dots here. Dots that tell you, for example, where is my editor insert caret. So you can see here, that's here. So that also helps me orient myself and find my way inside of my code, inside of Visual Studio. So that's also something that comes with the productivity power tools. But there's actually quite a number of additional features that you can configure here. Let me just see, here they are, productivity power tools. So for example, the brace completion, I mentioned that before, that quotes and all braces will be automatically closed for you. Things like the enhanced scrollbar, of course. You can also move your tabs up here to the left if you prefer that. So those are all small things, but there's also some important productivity enhancements, like the fact that it gives you new quick launch tasks. For example, there's one quick launch task that will switch between code view and markup view if you're doing a lot of WPF, Silverlight, or Windows 8 development, and you switch often between XAML and C#. This command will actually, with one keystroke, open the associated files. So there's a lot of goodness in the productivity power tools, definitely worth the download. It looks a bit different in Visual Studio 2010, but it's still a very worthwhile download for those of you who are still using 2010, because it gives you the enhancements to the Solution Explorer I mentioned before. So it's definitely a very, very good, download. So for those of you who are mostly doing web development, there's also a third extension, the Web Essentials 2012, which give you a lot of helpful things if you're doing HTML, JavaScript, CSS, etc. So I also highly recommend you download and try that. By the way, we have a lot new features in Visual Studio 2012 for web developers in general. So let me just show you some of those. And those new features get even more enhanced when it comes to using and installing and using the Web Essentials. So what I've just did, I've just opened a solution here, which is a fairly complex HTML5 JavaScript application. And some of the simple things we have, let me just open a style sheet here. Some of the simple things we have, for example, we have this new CSS document outline, which gives you a handy view of navigating through your complex CSS. Of course, we have all kinds of comfort enhancements. So if you add a new thing here, let's just do the background color, simple one. We, of course, have full IntelliSense and auto-completion for all the CSS properties, for all the CSS code, etc. We also have a nice inline color selector, which actually selects first from your style sheet. But if you need the full-blown color wheel, you also have that here. So that is just small stuff, really, that is supposed to make the life of a web developer a little bit easier. It turns out that there is actually no really, really good IDE development environment for web development out there. Most of them are more geared towards web design, Dreamweaver being an example of that. And others are just glorified text editors, right? So if you have nothing with the power and comfort of Visual Studio for pure web development, and this is actually one thing that we want to change, and that is why we put so much effort into making the web development tools, both for HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, on par with what we had for years now as .NET developers. Having said that, there's other things in here that help you. So for example, this little browser drop down here, that is something that comes with the Web Essentials. So when you mouse over any kind of property, HTML, CSS, etc., it will tell you exactly which browser version supports that. That's a small thing, but that is what the Web Essentials, give you. What the Web Essentials also give you, you can see here, is a little bit more complex one. It doesn't just give you the different browsers. It also tells you exactly which version supports what. So that is also a nice, helpful thing that this plugin can give you. One thing that comes with Visual Studio out of the box, but is not part of a plugin, is called the Page Inspector. And the Page Inspector basically tries to bring together browser debugging tools and combine them with the Visual Studio debugging tools. So in Page Inspector, the Page Inspector allows me to run my website, my web application in Visual Studio in a window, and now I can inspect those different elements here. So for example, if I mouse over here, it will tell me that this is coming from a JavaScript file, and it will also open the JavaScript file, show me the exact line of code that actually influences this particular element. If I'm an ASP.NET developer, it will also show me the server-side ASP.NET code that is responsible for this piece of markup. It will also show me any style sheets, any styles that influence the look and feel of this element. So it's very, very powerful for debugging complex web applications where you usually have to switch between different environments to actually be able to meaningfully debug. And you can see here that it's even updating automatically. So if you look down here, this little rotating clock changes all the time. So the page inspector actually gives you a live preview of that site and allows you to really do sophisticated debugging with that. So that is just one example of some of the tools that we have in Visual Studio for web developers particularly. Of course, there's other things like the simple things like the fact that you can now also have more than just Internet Explorer select for debugging, etc. So I'm running out of time, so I cannot talk much more about this. But especially for web developers, you should definitely look at the features for web development in Visual Studio 2012. It will make your life much, much easier. The last thing that I want to show you in the last minute is actually something that is really, really geeky. And the Web Essentials plugin allows you to, gives you support for that. Has anyone heard of Zen coding? One person, three persons? Okay, very good. So Zen coding, basically, if you go to Wikipedia, you can read up on what Zen coding is all about. It's a way of generating and writing a lot of code with as few keystrokes as possible. So it's basically sort of a, if you will, interpreter for the Zen coding syntax, and that will then expand to full-blown HTML or other languages. So let me just add a new file here. So Control-Q, add new. Actually, that was wrong. I should do Control-Q, add new item, like this. Oh, I hate my keyboard, by the way. It's a nice laptop. I really like it, but the keyboard is just horrible. Wow. Okay, let me just add a new HTML page here. An empty HTML page. And let's just take a little bit of Zen coding here. Okay, let's create a simple one. Let's create a header div. So that is Zen coding syntax right here. And I want to have an H1 in that, and this H1 should have a test title, if you will. So those few keystrokes, if you hit tab twice, it will expand to the full-blown HTML snippet here. Now, that's a simple one. Let's take a little bit more complex one. As web developers, what we often need to do is navigation, which is a combination of UL and Li links. So let's create a menu. And we want to have five Li tags inside of that menu. And we want to have a href in here that says click here. And whoops, wrong key. And let's close that one. And actually, I want to number those sequentially. So let's do that here and hit tab. And you can see that it now creates our little code of HTML. And I can again use tab to navigate through the configurable elements here. And I can change them by hand. We can also create a whole page with that. So let's create an HTML5 page. And we want to have divs in there, a div. And we want to have five paragraph tags in there. And we want to fill those paragraph tags with lorem ipsum blind text. So let's put a lorem 10 in here. And if we hit tab, we have the whole page fully scoped out, fully scaffolded out with all that lorem ipsum text in here. And it even continues automatically, so it's not always the same thing. If you add just lorem 25, For example, it will give you 25 blind text words, something like that. So that's basically a little bit of Zen coding. And it's a very easy syntax to remember and learn. And if you're doing a lot of web development, this kind of stuff, if you combine it, for example, with code snippets in Visual Studio, this can really, really, really make you very, very fast. So I like that. It's a geeky thing, but that's what being a developer is about a lot. All right. So summary, must have extensions. The color theme editor, if you cannot live with the gray, of course, you should always install the latest update to Visual Studio. The update 2 is the latest one, came out 2 weeks ago. VS commands, if you want the file menu back to normal. But more important is productivity power tools, and if you're a web developer, the web essentials. With that, thank you very much for your interest. I hope you found some new stuff, and you learned some new stuff which you didn't know before. For those of you who are still using 2010, almost everything I showed you in terms of shortcuts, smart text, snippets, etc., works in 2010 as well. So you should get some helpful stuff out of that as well. But of course, we want you to upgrade to 2012, which gives you a lot of additional goodies, and it's really a very, very powerful product. So with that, thank you very much. I think there's a break now.